Sandy just reminded me that it's Grandparents' Day. And so we're going to take a moment to pray for grandparents and grandchildren. And I have a piece in our daily bread this morning about my granddaughter. I didn't realize it was Grandparents' Day. They did. But Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for grandparents who know you, who are faithful to you. Thank you for the gift of generation to generation. Faith that is shared and received. Father, we pray this for the next generations, that they may know you, that they may love you. Lord, we lift them before you right now. Lift up grandparents that they may be able to share you. Lord, we praise you for such precious gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. Some years back, I had friends, both believers, one white, one black, who were on a trip together. And it was a long trip, and eventually they started to get on each other's nerves. And as they got on each other's nerves, voices kind of raised, and after a while, they weren't speaking. And that went on for a bit, until one of them turned to the other and said, "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?" And the other turned to him and said, "Forgive you? Of course I'll forgive you. I'm not going to hell for you." Now, the question may be asked whether or not that was really forgiveness, but the point is well taken. How so? You might wonder, what's that about? Well, to find that out, we have to read this parable from Jesus, and it starts with this calculating question. You can just see Peter asking it. How many times? I have put up with it this much. How many times? It's a question we all might want to ask at one time or another. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Deep breath before the plunge. Here we go. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.'" Some translations have 70 times seven. The point is, a lot. Keep on going. Jesus often used hyperbola. He didn't mean, "Oh, well, you just get up to 77 and that's it." "Therefore," verse 23, "the kingdom of heaven," Jesus says, "is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants." Oh, how grace to great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. "As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins." And it's an amount that's a lot less than he owed. "He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, He went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Now here it comes. And this is from Jesus. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." Hard words. May we pray. Father, help us in this. Help us in this. We need your help. This is not easy. Bless us in this. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us into truth, into yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. This isn't a parable about money. Obviously, it's about forgiveness, justice, fairness. And it's brilliant because when someone has wronged you, you feel like they owe you, right? But it is tough. How many of us have ever tried to forgive someone and thought that we had done it? And then years later, maybe the slightest word or the slightest look or just, you know, the smell of a memory brings it all back in. The resentment starts coming back. I can forgive, but I won't forget, some people say. And that seems to make sense because it's one thing to forgive, but it's another to let an injustice occur again. Okay. But when you hear that, don't you still have the sneaking suspicion that someone is still hanging on to something? That they're fooling themselves and maybe forgiveness really hasn't happened? Because why are you bringing it up anyhow, sunshine, right? And what makes matters worse is we live in a time where everyone's a victim of something. Just look long enough, you'll find it. And if you don't, the politicians will, and they will play off on it so that we'll vote for them. And of course, it appeals to the self-focused old sin nature in all of us. So sometimes, forgiveness is tough. And what about when the wrong is real? When it's a hurt of the heart, when it's a life hurt, or worse. And it doesn't go away. Even then, Jesus shows we must forgive. Think about his words from the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus doesn't make exceptions. That's why he uses such strong language in this. "This is how your heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart." There's so much hanging on this. Not according to me, according to Jesus. But what if they don't say that they're sorry? You hear that one a lot too, right? Well, I'll forgive them if they apologize. But they didn't apologize to Jesus. No one was even going there. No one was offering that when he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Jesus doesn't allow for that exception. Now, there may not be reconciliation for good reason. In all fairness, yes, that's true. But in our hearts, we have to be moving toward this place of forgiveness if we're going to follow Jesus and be like him. I get it. I totally get it. Please don't think I'm just preaching. You ever broken out? You ever been so mad, upset with someone that you've broken out in hives overnight? It's happened to me. It's these Celtic green eyes, you know. We all have those places where the Holy Spirit is like, "Okay, you got to work on this, Bubba." See, with Jesus, forgiveness is like a mirror. That's what this parable shows us. We have to look at ourselves. We have to see how much we've been forgiven, so that we can see to forgive the person standing beside of us. If we don't realize that we've been forgiven, we got nothing. I mean, our self-awareness is lacking, and we've got nothing to offer others because it's all about us. And real forgiveness isn't all about us. I really believe that this is where, I mean, the only way through to forgiveness is to understand it for the gift that it is. It is a gift that you and I have received from God through Jesus, through his cross. But because it is a gift, and because Jesus puts such stringent requirements on it, it's also a gift that we can ask for again and again. So when you and I are struggling to forgive someone, God knows. And you may have to ask 100 times. But if your heart is in that place of asking, that's a good place for your heart to be. And sometimes that gift, man, it will come in a way that you can actually feel. I've had that happen. Where you realize God gives you a love for that person that you could not explain otherwise. But we have to go through that painful self-awareness of saying, "Lord, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I need you to help me." And I don't think there's a better illustration of this than from Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch woman who went through so much at the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Her sister, Betsy, whom she was close to, died in that camp. And there was one particular guard who oversaw processing when people were first coming into the camp. This was a woman's camp. This was a male guard who was placed outside the women's showers. And he was cruel. And one day, years later, years after the war, Corey is speaking at a church. And this man comes up to her. You've got to look at the way she describes him just in this first sentence. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. "How grateful I am for your message, Fräulein," he said. "To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away." His hand was thrust out to shake mine, and I, who had preached so often to the people in Bloemendaal the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? "Lord Jesus," I prayed, "forgive me and help me to forgive him." I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I could not. I felt nothing. Not the slightest spark or warmth or charity. And so again I breathed a silent prayer. "Jesus," I prayed, "I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness." As I took his hand, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while into my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives, along with the command, the love itself. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're wrestling with. Stuff from the past, some of it's hard. And you have good reason to feel that way. But if Jesus wants us to be free of it, and didn't he say, "If the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed"? This is about you and him. This is about the debt that you have already had canceled by him the moment you received him. And no, this doesn't mean that you place yourself back in a situation of hurt or a situation of harm. But what it does mean is that you see things through his eyes, through his heart, and only he can help you and me do this, and oh, we need this. And that's the beautiful, hopeful thing. It's possible. it is entirely possible because of who he is, because he is that good, because of his cross, because of what he has given us. It's already inside of us. And he will let it work through us. We just have to ask. Yes, sometimes we have to keep asking, but even in that, continuing to ask, I have to believe that pleases him. And I have to believe that he'll meet us there. As a matter of fact, I know he will, because he's done it for me. And he'll do it for you. No matter what it is. His forgiveness is that good. May we pray. Lord, you know there's part of us that sometimes doesn't even want to ask, because we feel like, I've got a right to this. And there are ways in which we do, because of wrongs that have occurred. And yet, standing before you, how can we hold on to anything? And so we want your way, not ours. Your will, not ours. The beauty of your Spirit and the beauty of your peace to move through us. Because in the end, that's what matters. We just want to be with you. Lord, we want nothing to come between our hearts and yours. So help us to have your heart in this. Thank you, Abba, Father. Thank you that this is a prayer you love to answer. Thank you that you've done it before and will do it again. So we just give ourselves to you in this, and we just affirm we're yours. And we thank you that you have looked at us and said, all is forgiven. And because of that, we lean into you and we say, all is forgiven. And we let it go. And we praise you, Abba, Father. Because there's no better place to be than close to you. There is no greater identity to have than yours, just to be yours. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us there. Thank you for making it possible. Through your cross, through your kindness. In Jesus' name. Amen.